Sunday Lunch. Sunday Lunch with your favourite Essex boy, Tony Smith. Tony Smith. On Phoenix 98 FM.
Yeah, that will be me. And welcome to the show, Sam Callan. Morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm very good, thanks. Very good. I haven't seen you for ages and ages and ages. I know we bump into each other through gigs and things like that.
Yep.
But we was talking off air before you come on. You've done a Phoenix in the Foyer gig for us. It was a stand-in for Myla Falls, who was due to go on. And that's got to be about, I've been thinking about 7 or 8 years probably ago.
It must have been. I think probably 6 or 7. It was before X Factor, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was well before X Factor, yeah. You look really young in that photo as well.
I know, I had that whole Bieber hair going on.
Yeah, with the old jacket with the collars up and
everything. Yeah.
How was the look?
I don't know, yeah. I thought I was quite cool then. Clearly not.
Alice just looked the same, bald head. Fast forward to the X Factor, you've had an incredible run on that and you've done well. Since then, you've been busy gigging, releasing a load of new material as well over the last couple of years. What have you been up to this year?
This year's been, the majority of this year has been about releasing new music for me. I've done a lot more gigs. We did the Brentwood Centre, the Brentwood Festival.
Yeah.
And that was fantastic.
I see you there because I work on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I might have introduced you on stage.
I did.
I do the after parties in the big marquees on a Friday and Saturday as well as the stage run. It's good. It's good to see you on the big stage.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's great. It's a really good gig. Unfortunately, I had to leave early because I had the Pride for Bournemouth.
Yeah,
That gig was great too. Been doing loads and loads of things like that, especially throughout the summer. It's been a busy summer. But then I've literally just released a brand new single, which, has just had the best response so far to any new music that I've released. So it's been really exciting.
Yeah, we played that a couple of 2 weeks ago. We've been playing it on the show. And it's a great new track, by the way.
Thank you very much.
It's different directions to some of your really early stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm lucky because you've done a few covers as well, didn't you? But this is kind of the new look. Sam, is it?
I would say more of a progression on my early stuff. I don't think it's not like I was doing something completely different. You know, I was still just songwriting with a guitar, and what kind of came out then is just an earlier, more I guess less mature version of what I do now. So the crazy thing is I've tried different stuff. I have tried, like, I tried the rock thing for a bit. I tried some R&B stuff, and ultimately it's funny, you work so hard to try it really hard and find this sound, and actually what you end up doing is just what comes naturally. And so you know, when I pick up a guitar and we get in the studio with a producer that I get on with and we click well, it just comes out. And it's not like we went, okay, this is exactly how it has to be. We just vibe and it comes out how it does. And it's nice.
The Califans still about? Are you still got the Twitter fans?
The Califans are still about. We're just on Facebook Live at the moment doing whilst we're on the radio as well. So hi guys.
Hello to everyone out there.
But like, Califans are still about. What's funny is I did a meet and greet the other week for the Stitches and Scars release.
I'll see that on Facebook, yeah.
And it went really well. What's crazy about it is there's loads of new fans, but there's also so many of the older fans that I'm now having conversations with that I never thought I'd have with them. Like, oh yeah, I'm now pregnant, I have a baby coming, and or I've passed my driving test. And when I last saw them, they were really young, you know. So it's what's quite beautiful about my fan base and the relationship I have with them is that I really am close to them, and I get to know them, and I see, you know, see them kind of grow as they see me grow.
So the new fans would have been probably wouldn't see the X Factor. How long ago was the X Factor now?
The X Factor was 5 years ago, so 2013.
The fans then, if you had a fan like 11, 12, they're teenagers now.
Exactly.
Probably driving around, you know, totally different. And of course, you've got your new fans who probably may not have seen that, are just going to see you for yourself.
Absolutely. And I think I've changed a lot as well, like in lots of different ways. I've learned a lot. I've made a lot of mistakes.
but
that's what we learn from. But you know, and then I think I guess for me, my end goals have changed as well. I think when I was younger, I was like, yeah, I want to be Justin Bieber. I want everybody in the world to know who I am, and I want to have houses in every country and Ferraris coming out my ears. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? But and I think as you grow older, you realise what's really important. And for me, having developed this relationship with the fan base I do have, and with my own music, I think is it's now so much more about knitting that neat kind of niche fan base together. And and making sure that those are the people that are happy and that they love what I'm creating and that they come to my gigs and stuff like that. I think it's partly because you learn as you get older that not everybody's going to like you.
That's part of the journey, though.
Yeah.
Making mistakes is part of the journey as well. I think it makes for a better you. You're on a journey. We're all on a journey all the time throughout our lives as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's good to know. Congratulations, by the way, because you are going to be an uncle, I hear.
I am going to be an uncle, yes. That's Sam. The first time I've said that on radio.
It's the Uncle Sam.
I'm going to be Uncle Sam, yeah.
You don't mock up one of those American posters.
I know, right?
Uncle Sam Ninja.
Pointing at everyone. Yeah, no, that's a crazy thing, right? So, because that's the first of that generation in my family. So, I'm going to be an uncle, man.
Yeah, it's
my sister's having a baby girl, for anybody who doesn't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, and you know what? I didn't even know you had a sister till I met Uncle Sam.
Yeah, I've got a brother and a sister.
I thought, oh yeah, because I can't remember. I've seen your mum and dad at some of the gigs. And I'm
yeah,
like,
yeah.
But I probably wouldn't have, you know, if you had brothers or sisters. So,
yeah, well, to be fair, my sister's like 30, so she's kind of like gone off and doing her own thing with her husband and that. And my brother's now moved to the US, so. Yeah, I'm the baby of the family, and we're all like super, super close and supportive of each other. But everyone's also growing up and doing their own thing and having babies, apparently.
You're local as well. Are you still? You're from Witham, is it?
No, I was born in Chelmsford.
Chelmsford, yeah.
But I actually live in Brentwood.
Oh, right, you live in Brentwood now. Oh, of course, yeah, because you said you live in the High Street now.
Yeah, I live close by. But I basically we just instead of Saturday night television, we just watch the fights outside the window. So
I leave some of my gigs and I drive. I normally come out to Hart Street, which is like in the middle of the town, and I normally go to do a left to go home, and sometimes I could do a left and just drive normally, but normally I just can't because the people standing in the road,
you've
got the cars parked everywhere, not a traffic warden in sight, and you go up the High Street Thursday afternoon, park on the curb and you get a ticket.
So
the traffic wardens get out there in the evening, move those motors. And in between that, a few bottles being chucked everywhere.
Someone chucked a cone at my car last night, which was highly annoying. It wasn't at my car, they just missed whoever they were throwing it at, and it was directed at my car. I just come home from a gig, and I think I got home like midnight and was just having to sit in the High Street and wait for the fight to cool down before I could like continue driving. So yeah.
Halloween next week, so everyone will be doing exactly the same but dressed up.
That'll be something to film, wouldn't it?
That's the great thing about YouTube. I was watching when the World Cup was on, they had load of pictures of everyone just storming the High Street and just singing and, you know, doing what they have to do after a few beers. We're going to put a track on. We're going to put your latest track on, actually. I got the Stitches and Scars, the name of the track. Tell us a little bit about the track.
So the track, I think the reason that the response has been so amazing for this is because the track, for me, is so personal. It was written, I wrote it in a probably the darkest time of my entire life so far. And I'd made a few bad mistakes and decisions and been a bit of a boy, irresponsible lad, do you know what I mean? And you know, we all go through those phases, and I think, but at the time, because I was in the public eye, it mattered more to me because I was being judged. I was being, you know, people, everyone's got their opinions. And it was actually my brother who at the time lived with me that turned around and was like, dude, like, you need to stop beating yourself up. He was like, you know, you haven't hurt anyone. You haven't done anything bad. He was like, you know, the people that matter and the people that are important to you, they love you because of who you are, not because you're perfect. And that's why the tagline of the song is, would I really be me without my stitches and scars?
Yeah, it's a great track. Should we play it?
Yeah, thank you very much.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll let you introduce it.
Okay. So my name is Sam Callahan. You are listening to Phoenix FM, and this is my brand new single, Stitches and Scars.
Perfect, what we're working for, 'cause in the end it's worth it. We all gotta have flaws. Don't matter about me, I'm going cold. Don't matter about me, how far I go. I used to sit and dream what I grow up to be. Now playing back on memories on this JVC. Who is this broken picture of my former self? This man who sold his soul just to regain his wealth. Feels like I'm blind, trying to find Mars. I feel like a prisoner locked behind steel bars. Would you give me a helping hand if that's all I ask? Would I, would I really be me without my stitches and scars? Better. Am I missing the cracks? I don't have the answers. I can't answer that. I used to sit and dream what I grow up to be. Now playing back old memories on this JVC. Who is this broken picture of my former self? This man who sold his soul just to regain his wealth. Feels like I'm blind. Trying to find Mars. I feel like a prisoner behind steel bars. Would you give me a helping hand if that's all I ask? But I, would it really be me without my stitches and scars? Getting closer, always tripping up, I gotta gain composure. They think I'm worry-free, but y'all see it's killing me. Even in my darkest hour, I'ma brush it off like April showers. Just like a boomerang, I'ma keep coming back again. Feels like I'm blind, trying to find Mars. I feel like a prisoner locked behind steel bars. Would you give me a helping hand if that's all I ask now? Would it really be me without my stitches and scars?
Sunday Lunch with Tony Smith on Phoenix 98 FM.
Stitches and Scars, Sam Callaghan. Great, great track, isn't it?
Thank you very much. Thank you.
We've been playing it a couple of weeks and really enjoyed it. When it's one of those tracks when you first hear it, it's kind of quite catchy, so you kind of remember it.
Good, good. I like that. I think that's important in especially in pop music. Do you know what I mean? It's got to have that vibe. You're like, oh, I want to listen to that again. Or, oh, I can't get a blooming song out of my head.
Yeah. And you're going to possibly do a dance version of this track, you say?
Yeah. So it's been, basically, we got a guy, Funk Bellagio, who he's from Australia, and he does some of my remixes sometimes. So he's been working on a dance track, a dance version of this. I kind of kept it quiet for a little bit. I haven't really mentioned it too much, but now it's kind of looking like it's imminent. So I thought I'd let you know.
EP on its way, album on its way?
Album possibly. EP, I mean, for me, like, I either want to put one out at a time or show them all my music, you know? So for me, I've kind of drip-fed a few singles this year. I would like next year to do an album. I have so much music. It's just getting it all properly finished and recorded and edited and getting the videos done and all of that stuff. It takes a lot. And as an independent artist, it's a hefty job to kind of take on.
And you have ups and downs in your life, as you mentioned. Is that kind of, do you put those stories into your lyrics, as we know? Is that how you write your music, kind of drawing on things that's happened to you?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, it's not just how I write my music, it's how I cope with those situations at the time. So, I mean, Stitches and Scars, that song literally healed me at the time because I struggled so much. I was having therapy over the phone and some other bits and bobs. And to be honest, like, none of it was really doing anything. The only thing that helped me was going to the gym for some reason. That was like a bit of meditation and yeah, writing that song and writing music. Because I think, you know, it's important to express yourself in some way, and if it's, you know, whether it's talking to people or whether it's like me for writing songs. And for me, yeah, that's how I work.
Yeah. And what do you do? I know you've probably mentioned this before, but do you do the lyrics first and then just put the melody over it, or do you just have a melody in your head, go, do you know what, that sounds good, I'll strum that out, and then...
You know what, it's more of a feeling than anything else. I'm like... I'll be sitting there and I'll be either stewing over something, or sometimes I do sit and go, I need to write a song, I haven't written for a while, you know. But most of the time it's when I've got sort of a feeling that's either, you know, getting at me and whatever, eating away at me, and then I'll just pick up the guitar and I'll start playing a few chords. I'll be like, you know, and I start playing a few chords, and then I start coming up with like a little bit of something, a little bit of a tune, and then just adding lyrics to it and whatever's kind of coming to my head. So it's very much, I write very much start to finish. I know some people start with the chorus and things like that and write songs backwards, but yeah, I think it just makes sense to start at the beginning, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, you've been doing a bit of charity stuff, 76 Miles, British Heart Foundation, London to Brighton.
Oh my God.
How did that go?
That was the hardest thing I have ever done in my entire life. Probably chief of, you know, of which the problem was that I didn't train for it at all. I love mountain biking. I kind of started mountain biking for the downhill element, all the jumps and off-road bits and bobs like that. This is just straight distance. It's just really, really difficult, really tough. And I think the biggest problem that we had this year was that, so I've never done it before, but they've done it for 10 years, and for 9 of those years, they've had like lovely weather like it is today. And this year, I mean, there was points we were going through like a foot and a half of water on push bikes. And you're dropping off all these drops and stuff, which usually I think are, you know, quite sort of nice and firm, but it was just slush, and you had 2,500 bikes gone through it before you, and it was just, yeah, doing that for 76 miles was not easy.
Now, I think I like one of those electric bikes no one knows about, you know, just kind of go along and think,
do you know what, I did even think of it, and I had to do my research, but they don't allow them. I did think, you know what, why, this could help.
I'm not very good at cycling. I just get so knackering. I've got a mountain bike,
yeah.
But I live in Worley, which is quite hilly. Mm. So when I leave the house, the first thing I have to do is go downhill, and I think, oh, that's relatively easy. And then as I get further away, I just think, oh, can I be bothered to cycle back? Yeah. So probably about 50 bikes
to get back, of course, you've got to go back up here. Yeah.
I'll just walk back and buy another bike when I want to go out next time. Yeah, it's my son is, I'll take him, he's only 7. He's there, zooms off, I can't keep up. And I cut a lap, and I'm like, no, like, you can see there's a dad trailing along, like, you know, in a race.
Well, it's funny, when we did the London to Brighton, I was supposed to do it with my dad.
Yeah.
So my dad's a big guy, and he used to look like me. He used to be a lot more athletic. And he loves mountain biking, but he doesn't go enough, really, like, to keep fit. So my idea was, if we do the London to Brighton, we've got to train for it, so he'll get fit in the training, and then doing it will be a real kind of good self-achievement thing. So what my dad did was booked a holiday over it.
That's the way to do it.
So I was like, great, so now I'm going on my own. So what happened was my housemate filled in, Gareth, and he is also super unfit, and for probably like 72 miles I kept having to stop and wait for him, and
is he still puffing. Doing it?
He told me yesterday, actually only yesterday, that he cried twice during the event, which I didn't know about, but yeah. And then the last like 4 miles he got so angry with the pain and the frustration of not being at the end yet and the weather, that he just shot off. He overtook me and was gone. And I was like, where did he get all this determination from all of a sudden? And there's me, just couldn't feel my hands or legs or anything.
Yeah,
I was like,
cold, raining.
I'll just get to the end.
And how long did that take? 76 miles?
Yeah, it was something like 7 or 8 hours. It was a long, long process.
Yeah, if I was doing that, I'd probably still be out there now. on the fourth mile.
Yeah, it was pitch black by the time we finished. But we were the last two people to start the race. race because our train was late. So what that meant, in a way, I was like, well, you know, we're not in the middle of the pack. We haven't got to worry about all the other people around us. But what it did mean was that every other person doing London to Brighton that day had gone through the mud and the slush before us. And it was just like, it was like trying to drive on marshmallows. It was horrible.
But not so much fun, I suppose. But a good cause, British Half Foundation, which
absolutely
is fantastic. Raising money for a great event. Your songwriting, and you're going to be singing a track in a minute, actually. So yeah. you brought your guitar with you. What are you going to sing?
Absolutely. So I wrote this song a while ago and basically finished it recently. I'm in an amazing long-term relationship now with my girlfriend Robin, but at the beginning, as you can imagine, being with somebody like myself with a career that I have, it can be difficult at times. So I think I went away and gigging for a little while, and I had a tour and things like that, and I was a bit kind of apprehensive as to how she was feeling, because you never know, how the other person's feeling, and so I was like, okay, well, I don't know. I need to get these feelings out onto paper. So this song is called Hold On, and I finished it recently.
And it's brand new because it's still on your phone.
Yeah, I've got the lyrics on my phone just in case I get lost. but yeah, we'll see what happens. But I haven't played this live. I haven't played it in a gig. I haven't played it on radio. So this is brand new. Only in my bedroom.
That's what we like about live radio and exclusive on Sunday Lunch. Well, when you're ready, take it away.
All right, let's go.
Was feeling broken hearted, so take another look and let's finish what we started. I wrote you a song, I tell you how I'm lost without you. Feel so wrong when I wake up in this empty bedroom. No, no, no. What do I have to do? Show you what you mean to me. It could have come too soon. To stare at me lovingly and say, hold on, cause this could be a bumpy road, but we are strong. And talk to me and I'll throw it all away. And talk to me and I'll throw it all away. You flowers, I could kiss you under the bathroom shower. Pick you up at 8, and I promise this time I won't be late. Take a late night drive to a fast food restaurant we both like. Let's fly away, and I don't care where if you're with me. What do I have to do? Show you what you mean to me. Could've gone too soon. Stare at me and lovingly and say, hold on, cause this could be a bumpy road, but we are strong. Just take to me and throw it all away. Yeah, talk to me, talk to me. Yeah, talk to me and I'll throw it all away. Sometimes we run out of fire and we run out of steam, but we can take it away. Just have some faith in me when it seems I'm running on air. Just as I still got some heart and nothing broken and bruised, but I will fall apart. Hold on, cause this could be a bumpy road, but we are strong. Talk to me and I'll throw it all away. Yeah, talk to me, talk to me. Yeah, talk to me, and I'll throw it all away. Yeah, talk to me, and I'll throw it all away.
Thank you.
Well done. Love that track.
Cheers,
and
man.
And you knocked that up recently.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I had like a verse... and that was about it. And then I just put the rest of it together.
That's the great thing about phones. You just got to write on stuff on your phones and just leave
it.
Yeah,
the amount of songs that I've written on a train, and I guess they kind of just start off as poems because you can't just sit there and sing.
Yeah.
So you just kind of write them in your head, and then I sit down with the guitar and put them together. But that's the good thing about technology these days, I guess.
You said you just filmed your video of one of your tracks on your phone.
Yeah, so the brand new single, Stitches and Scars, the video's on YouTube, the music video. A lot of it's actually filmed in Brentwood, but it's filmed all over Essex. And I had a few different athletes, Mike Hales, who's an MMA fighter, just had some televised fights, Sophie Brace, who's a gymnast, and some motocross riders as well. Had them involved in the video, and we had this gimbal thing which you can get, like, I mean, relatively cheap ones, but it's, yeah, we got one that's so that it wouldn't break, but yeah, and it basically stabilizes the footage, and the footage on iPhones now, the new ones, are 4K, which is basically like as good as you can ever see on like YouTube or anything, so you can't get any better quality. I filmed the music video on my phone.
That's amazing. And should you have to edit it?
So I put it on my laptop for that process because it's a bit more difficult. But yeah, I mean, I guess you could probably do it if you were very handy with iMovie on the iPhone.
It's amazing though when you're on the phones. I know there's something about. I've got the old iPhone, but I still have to type the code into mine. But some people just look at it, don't they? And it just comes on.
Yeah. My housemate's got a Samsung, and he literally has like eye retina. Recognition or something, so he just looks at his phone and it like unlocks.
So if you just take a photograph of someone's face and just hold it up, it doesn't work.
Well, the brand new iPhone has face recognition, not retina recognition.
Oh, right, yeah.
And I said, what if you have a beard?
Yeah.
Because if you then shave it off one day, you can't get into your iPhone again.
It's your iPhone,
you have to wait a few weeks until your beard grows
back. So if you want to make an early urgent phone call, it takes you 3 months. I mean, mad, wouldn't it?
Exactly.
Unless you start getting someone like a lookalike or something like that, but probably don't work. It's probably like that precise. It's about Club 229. You're Great Portland Street in London on November the 17th.
Yes, 229, the venue it is. It's my headline gig. So I did, at the beginning of the year, I did a headline tour, and my friend Gregor Coleman was performing throughout that with me. And we did the UK, and that was amazing. And it was very, very scary. For me, it's like, I can do as many of those gigs that I actually get booked for myself, and I can release music and I can sit at home and speak to everyone on social media without getting too terrified. But the idea of booking gigs, because then you're like, what if nobody turns up?
Yeah, we all get that.
And I mean, it doesn't happen. Like, people, luckily, I'm fortunate. People do turn up, and my fans are amazing and loyal and incredible. But yeah, it's scary, I think. So now I've put more music out this year. It's only right that I do another headline gig before the year is out. So November the 17th, 229, the venue in London. Great Portland Street, is that right?
It is Great Portland Street, and it is W1W5PN, if you type that into your sat-nav, W1W5PN. And if you didn't have time to write down, we're going to be, this is on demand from tomorrow, you can listen again to the whole interview and the tracks that Sam's played. So head over to fixfm.com and you'll find the show page blog. I'll be tweeting it out, and Sam will probably retweet it out as well. Talking about gigs, if you're do you prefer the kind of local gigs or upfront and personal, you know, with a close audience, or do you like to be something like more of a club where you're a little bit out of the way?
Personally, I like the lively gigs. I like the stuff that's crazy, but I think there is like quite a nice thing about having just a few people there, and because it usually those are ends up being like bars and stuff like that, and it's always a good vibe. It's either someone's birthday or everyone's just drunk or something, you know, and it's quite a nice little thing to still be able to do, because that's how I began, you know. I was doing live open mic nights in bars, so it's kind of a similar vibe to that. But for me, I mean, the best kind of gigs are the big ones. So this year I did my biggest gig ever, and it was in Wolverhampton to 35,000 people.
Oh, wow.
Which was just something else.
And we were talking at the start, because Vicky Michelle, who's on next, you kind of nearly worked together, but you've done a bit of panto. I didn't realise you'd done panto.
Yeah, I've done panto. I actually did panto. It was the first ever professional entertainment job I did. And I was alongside Russ Abbott in Peter Pan at the Cliffs Pavilion.
Russ Abbott, he's funny. geezer.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But yeah, and then I've done the last 2 years in Torquay in Devon.
Yeah.
And this year I am in Bolton playing the Huntsman in Snow White, which apparently is a funny part, so I'm not sure why, but we'll find out.
How do you find going from singer to actor? Well, I did
a lot of acting training as a kid, so right. So it's kind of just trying to remember what I was taught. But yeah, I guess it's not that dissimilar. You're still performing, you know, you're still standing up there and entertaining people. But for me, the best thing about Panto is that it's the time of the year that Panto comes is you know, it's festive, it's Christmas time, it's time for everybody to have a laugh, and that's exactly what you do at Panto.
So, would you like to be the villain or the good guy?
The good guy. I like to be the Prince Charming, knight in shining armour. So, yeah.
Listen, it's been great. But you have to come in again and tell us a little bit more. I'll just get the album up and ready and pop in to see us. You've got loads on social media. Quickly, just run through how people can get hold of you if they want to find out more.
Yeah, actually, and in fact, if you want to find out more about that gig and other gigs that I've got, then yeah, you can follow me on social media. So my Twitter is @CallahanMusic_. My Facebook is Sam Callahan Official. And my Instagram is @itsamcallahan. They've all got that little blue tick just to make sure it's me.
And again, I'll be putting that on the show page blog. Just quickly, before you go, lots of people I notice at the moment are doing featurings and working with people. Is this something you do? Would you work with another act? Or who would you like to have if you could write a song and have someone else kind of rap with it or sing with it?
Well, I've done a collaboration recently with a DJ, and he's a DJ signed to my label, Roe Bradley, and it's a song called Castaway, but we haven't come to put it out yet, so that may be a next release or it may be on the album. But I would love to write and collaborate with another artist. Somebody that, like, the artist I look up to, you know, Shawn Mendes, Ed Sheeran, people like that. Or I think it might be quite cool to do a collaboration with a female artist. I like that kind of sound. It sounds nice, you know.
Yeah. Okay, listen, thanks for coming in. I'm going to play a track out. It's MK Jonas Blue. I'll say we're going to do some photos and we'll be right back. Sam Callan, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.